Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the EdUp Experience Podcast, where we make education your business. This is Dr. Joe Salustio back with another episode here at Lucene Live 2024 San Antonio. I just ate lunch, so I got a lot of energy right now. All I need is another cup of coffee, but then things will go crazy. The person that's with me, let me just tell you guys a little bit about this guy. When I come to Lucene, the first person that I ask on the schedule is if he's on my schedule, because I like to talk to him. He has the best exhibits in an exhibit hall that I have personally ever seen, ever. And I say been to a lot of conferences, so I don't give out these compliments lightly. He is also the best dressed guest, I think, that has ever come on the EdUp Experience Podcast. And I've tried to catch him. Let's see if he goes to the gym in the morning. I try to see, like, does he go to dinner at night and put on, you know, a t-shirt? No. Dude wears shirt, tie, slacks every day. In fact, I'm pretty sure he sleeps in that stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, back for a third straight year. Here he is. He is Robert Ferrelli. He is the CEO, founder, owner of Ferrelli. What's up, man?
Look, I want to say thank you, first of all the kind words. We, you know, the team here at Ferrelli works really hard on the booths. We like to really outdo ourselves. We're already starting to kick around ideas for 2025 and what we're going to do then. And then my wife wants to thank you for saying that I'm the best dressed.
Oh, well, thank you to your wife for dressing you appropriately, I guess.
Yeah, yes, she sews little geranimals. Uh-huh. Into the suit, so I know which tie to wear, which jacket.
Very nice.
Which pants.
Smart move.
If it wasn't for her, I would probably be the worst dressed on Ed Up.
That is true.
So
that
thank
is true.
You to my wife.
100%.
We have, before I get to talk about Ferrelli and the work that you're doing to serve higher education in an amazing way, I would like to be selfish for a moment and say that your exhibit was serving French fries, cheeseburgers, margaritas, and you have the DeLorean replica from Back to the Future, of which I sat in and took a picture, which was like a lifelong goal of mine, a bucket list goal that you helped me achieve.
Yes.
So thank you, sir. I can't tell you how cool that was. I don't know where you come up with this stuff. Like, are you the ideation? You have like a team around you. Are you the one that comes to tables? I'd like to do like a diner inside an exhibit hall, and they go, oh, I mean, okay, we'll try to make it happen.
No. I would say we want to be number one at everything we do.
Mm.
We want to be the number one employer. We want to be the best vendor partner. And we want to be the first call that higher education makes for problem solving and innovation. And so in being number one, we want to be the number one booth. We want to go all out and get
amazing,
all creative. It's kind of funny. I'll even tell the story of how these booths first started.
I would
love
to hear.
We didn't know. You know what I would say is we've had the traditional boring booth in the past, but we were working with a marketing firm, and they were kicking around an idea of Ferrelli, Ferrari, and high performance.
It's very close, Ferrelli and Ferrari. I you know, almost letter for letter.
Oh,
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
And they, you know, they proposed an idea of putting a Ferrari in the booth.
I like it.
And I thought it was the stupidest thing. I said, I can't believe we're paying these people. And so, but to try and let an idea, you know, an idea come to fruition, I said, look, I'll do it at one conference, and when it doesn't work, better get me a better idea.
And I want my money back, darn.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're the only consulting company with a money back guarantee.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
And we brought it to the higher education user group conference.
Epic.
And we just got all the traffic. And from that moment on, it dawned on me, nobody, you know, people want an event. People want an experience. And that's where we've kind of gone from there. And we had the golf simulator.
Yeah, I remember the golf simulator. There was a line to hit that ball.
Oh,
yeah.
Golf simulator.
You were giving away a trip somewhere or something, weren't you?
You got $50,000 for a hole in one.
Are you serious?
Yeah. We almost had somebody get it, and I paid the insurance, so it would have been a much better promotion if somebody won.
Excellent.
Almost. I never tried. That's why you didn't give out a winner. So, you know. But I did get into the DeLorean. So as we transition, you talked about serving, being the best in serving higher education. Level set for us, for those that didn't hear the last two episodes that we had with you at Lucien Live the last couple of years. What does Ferrelli do? Tell us what you do in 2 minutes or less.
We do professional services in higher education, and we do it across the board, whether it's advisory services, change management services, project management services, technical consulting, registration, financial aid compliance, accreditation help. We service the entire gamut. We are all in on education, and we do everything that we can. We basically add every component to our organization to make our higher education partners successful.
So I know a lot about you because we've talked for the last couple of years and have researched a company. What I don't know is why you're so passionate about higher education. Can you give us a little bit of background on you? Like, why higher ed? Why the passion to serve this industry?
You know, there's a lot of psychology behind that and a lot of deep-rooted things.
It's fuzzy math.
but growing up, I don't want to sit here and say that I was poor, but, you know, we were probably not necessarily financially stable. And the world didn't necessarily have a lot of opportunity. You know, the opportunities my mother fought for me. I can't say thank you enough for that. And I guess a big motivator for me is I'm an opportunity creator. And that's what higher education does. It creates opportunities. There is nothing more inspiring than volunteering at a graduation ceremony and seeing somebody with new knowledge, with a dream, ready to go chase after it.
Bullseye.
And so higher education represents opportunity. Ferrelli represents opportunity. We create great opportunities for our employees. I pride myself. I think we have the best health insurance in the business. We actually have free generic drugs for all our employees, and then we have nothing over a $50 copay. I think that, I feel like in Ferrelli, I can make the world a little bit of a better place.
Now, scale that to higher ed, that passion, internally focused on your employees and making them feel better, and then they're obviously going to serve higher ed better. And you take your services and you go out to an industry that is in disruption right now. We have closing schools. We have the value of a degree in question. We have institutions that are strapped for cash because enrollment's declining. The FAFSA, I mean, what the heck is that about? I mean, what are institutions wanting? When they come and talk to you right now, what's that couple of pain points that you're really solving for right now?
Oh, God. I mean, FAFSA simplification. As long as there's people and politicians, I will never be out of work.
Truth.
There's so much, regulation and, churn that happens at the federal and state levels that just keep, it's hard for these colleges and universities to keep up with compliance. Sometimes I feel we miss the mark because we're so focused on trying to stay compliant with all these laws and all these regulations that we lose focus of the real mission of teaching and learning and, making dreams possible.
Nailed it.
You know, you're so right.
I want to thank the federal and state governments because they keep me in business.
Nailed it.
At the same time, we can talk about the disruption that they might cause. No, it's FAFSA simplification is a big issue right now. And schools, what's happening, right, is schools can't project revenue because they don't know what their income and class is going to look like because of the FAFSA issues. But they know they need technology help. But they don't go out and get technology help if they don't know what the revenue is going to be. So it's this really vicious cycle we're in right now. Maybe enrollment declines. They're saying 20% for this. And I think FAFSAs were down 20%, 27% for high school seniors going to higher education. But AI is continuing to, AI doesn't care that we have less students in school. And the school still needs to evolve all of their technology services to serve a student that we do have better. How do we do that? How do schools even tackle this? technology black swan that we're in right now.
I love AI.
You do?
Oh, God. I
do you use it at the exhibit? No, I'm just going. Go ahead.
We use artificial it for intelligence. IDs.
Yeah.
Ideas. But I look, you know, when I look at AI.
A little bit closer to the mic.
When I look at AI, I think of my 12-year-old daughter, who's adopted AI faster than most faculty and staff.
Probably true.
It's changing the way that she learns. She reads a book and then is able to have a conversation with the character from that book.
That's crazy.
When she needs help with math, she goes to Khan Amigo and asks Khan Amigo her math problem.
Huh?
I didn't even know that existed.
Oh, God. You got to check out Khan Amigo. So
I will.
You're familiar with Khan Academy,
yeah.
right? And so what Khan Academy did is they partnered with Microsoft.
Oh, I did know about this. Yeah, I remember hearing about this. Yep.
And this thing is great. You can talk to characters from books. You can do math refreshers. What fascinates me is my daughter doesn't use a calculator.
Tell them like it is.
She'll sit there, and this drives me nuts because I can't talk to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But she talks to a computer like she's from Star Trek. And she'll just kind of, instead of typing it into the calculator, she'll just talk the problem out to ChatGPT, and ChatGPT will come back with an answer.
That's just the way I operate.
It's crazy.
And so my daughter's only 6 years away from entering college. If we're not adopting AI now, I tell college presidents all the time, if you don't have a plan for AI in your campus, it's like not having the internet during the internet boom.
That's a fact.
You make a really good point, and that's actually like a way... For me, that's a way to sell change. Like I'm 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. Boy, they know how to use technology like nothing you've ever seen before. My 9-year-old AI, you know, she's almost 10. AI, she knows programs. She comes home and does things. She's hacking into my phone. I'm like, how did you get my password? You know, they just know things, and so they're coming with technology now. There are some kids who are moving into college now. Even adults who are exploring. I mean, I got a doctorate degree and none of these tools existed. Boy, wouldn't it have been great to go back to school to get an MBA or a doctorate when you could have had like illicit that gives you all the research that you want. Now that student's going to come to school with an expectation. When I say student, I mean adult, you know, traditional student with an expectation that I use AI, that you're going to accept the fact that I use AI. But higher ed isn't fully accepting that fact yet, are we? And how do we get there? And what systems are we lacking to get there?
Well, any technology can be used for good and bad.
Mm.
That period.
Yep.
End of sentence. Yes, the expectation to use AI is going to be there. And we got to train people on how to cite it. We got to train people to be more accepting of it. With a lot of the colleges that we're working with on AI, we're suggesting that they start with small pilot rollouts with measurable results instead of doing a bit of a scattershot approach. But faculty need to incorporate it into their teaching and learning. I mean, it's not only changing the humanities and the writing with the large language models, but it's changing graphic design, movie creation. The Adobe Creative Suite and the things you could do with it is incredible. It's there's friends of mine that have storied careers in Photoshop, which their careers are not going to be so storied anymore.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Well, I'll tell you this: you know, one thing I know about you, Robert, is I trust you. I think when people hire you, or when an institution, let me say it this way, an institution is going to bring in any kind of managed services or IT services, there is a trust gap that has to be filled. When I give you access to my institution in ways, I have to believe that you really care about my success. And I know you well enough now as a person to know that you really do. Not that I didn't think that you did before, but I didn't know you. So an institution, when they reach out to you, and I love this from your website, that you're only as good as your last job. I love that quote because it's the proof is in the pudding. Don't judge me on what I haven't done yet. Judge me on what I have done. Is that a tenet for business for you? I'm only as good as my last job. Is that just you're proving it time and time again?
Well, one, we have a money-back guarantee if you're never not satisfied with the work that we do. And so that's a core value of mine, that if I didn't deliver for you, then I shouldn't get paid.
Bullseye.
And that's just a human being thing.
Yeah.
I want to be fair in everything that I do. But, you know, you talk about that the last 10 minutes, and the reason I say that is I don't have a big piece of software on your campus. I'm not your ERP provider. I'm not your email provider. I'm not your AI provider. I'm a service provider.
Right.
I provide people with expertise and intellectual capital that will help propel your institution forward. And if I don't do a good job, then you're not going to call me back. It's just a fact. It's right. Not even a tenet. And, right. Remind my people of that.
Yeah, I will. And you know, referrals are big. You know, we talk in higher ed. We the higher ed administrator, and we're going to go, you know what? I worked with Ferrelli, and it was really good. That referral network in higher ed is real. And so you have to prove it every single time, right? And that's an important part of this business. Talk about the award that you have won. I hear that you've won something.
Oh, I'm so excited to share this.
Well, that's why I asked you.
Yes. We've
victory.
We are the champions. I'm going to have my own soundboard.
I don't know if we're going to get a singing career out of you yet.
No, there will be no singing career.
Yikes. So the award.
But we were, for the second year in a row, we were selected as Lucien's Implementation Partner of the Year.
That's amazing.
Now, it's a testament. And look, I just collect the award. It's a testament to the professional services team at Ferrelli that works day in and day out for client success. I mean, they do things that are absolutely nuts. We had a client that was in trouble, and 14 of our people volunteered to get on the project, flew out that weekend to go on site and work with those colleges and get them back on track in order to achieve success.
Tell them like it is.
That's a commitment.
Yes. No, the reason why we have that best healthcare, we have education for our employees, and we make it such an attractive place to work at is because we want the best. We want, you know, this is part scientific, part art. We want the best. We want people that are willing to sign their name on their work, that are proud of their work. And so at the end of the day, I want to get out of their way, and I want them to create the best things that they could create. You know, one of the things I'm most proud of at Allen Hancock College, we partnered with them, and we eliminated the need to apply for graduation. That is a great piece of work. The year we implemented, 470 additional graduates.
That's amazing.
Went through the auto grad program.
There's a lot of work to be done still in higher ed, isn't there? I mean, there's so many different types of institutions, so many on the change adoption cycle. You mentioned change management. I know from my discussions with presidents, that is still the issue. We can do this, we can do that, but I got this person or this group of people that are fighting it. I mean, change management is such a critical part of this, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You got to coach the people through it. I mean, people like steady state. They, you know, but this is not a time of steady state for higher education. When I first started in the industry, you built it, they came.
Yep.
We had enough children that those seats were going to get filled, even if we did a bad job.
And now?
Now, today, I mean, the school I started at, Philadelphia College of Pharmacy, is now part of St. Joseph's University.
This is lunacy.
And I mean, it broke my heart. And I'm sure it broke a lot of alumni's hearts. You know, fortunately, it gets to live on as a part of another institution. But we have Cabrini College in my area.
Yeah.
That just shut down.
Yep.
And doesn't even get to live as a part of another institution.
Yep.
And so, to me, that's what we got to fight against as a group, because we're, you know, we talked about early in the conversation about creating opportunity. Well, that's closing the door on opportunity.
Yeah, it is. Literally.
Yes.
Closing colleges is a big issue. A lot of times because there is a lack of change adoption. And those schools that are closing at some point refused to change. Are you able to go in, do like a like an assessment? If I said, Robert, I gotta figure out, I don't even know what's wrong. Come in and assess me. Like, what do I need to do?
We got an incredible evaluation team. We got Dr. Rita German that leads up the evaluation team. We actually just revamped it in 2023 to make sure that it's up to date with everything that's going on in higher education and technology. And I mean, she does an incredible job of taking a snapshot of where you are from a current state perspective and also putting together that, you know, technology strategic plan, and, you know, could also support your institution strategic plan as well.
What else do you want to say about Ferrilli? What else do you want to say about Ellucian, your award, anything at all? Open mic.
Open mic, you know.
You never met a mic that you didn't want to get on. Come on.
There's something that's just kind of top of mind. And it's especially for my small private colleges.
Yeah.
I recently have gotten the opportunity to work with Immaculata College.
Okay.
And it brought me back. Walking in the hallways and having everybody say hello to me, everyone knowing one another, everybody focused on the single mission of that student. My nephew recently graduated there, and he's a little bit on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took him in, and they created an opportunity for him in cybersecurity that he now works for SAP. He's doing a six-month stint in Germany. And I'm so proud to have them as a client. And it's so emotionally relevant for me. And it's just such a great place to work. And, you know, we need to get that back.
Mm.
Where that focus is on, you know, on that student, creating that success, creating that warm environment, creating that environment that no matter what office you go into, we're going to put our hands behind your back and we're going to coach you through this. We're going to get you through this. You're having a bad day, you want to quit, let's talk about why you should stay. Let's talk about what you could do to keep moving forward. Let's, you know... And we got so many great people that are out there doing it, but we need to do more of it. We need to continue to create those opportunities. We need to support our small private colleges and universities. And, these closures are tough, but we got to really fight to, keep these doors open, keep these opportunities open. Because they're just incredible for the community, for the students, and for the people that they serve.
That is Truth to Power by my guest today, the one, the only, Robert Ferrilli. He is the founder, CEO, president, and janitor of Ferrilli. And he'll tell you what needs to happen at your institution. Visit Ferrilli.com. If you want to learn more, you can call him in between the hours of 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. on his cell phone.
Yes, you can.
And he will. I bet he'd pick up. Right?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Wait, look, I've never turned away a client. Matter of fact, I was presenting with Hartnell College, and she talks about how she was a victim of a ransomware attack, and she found out at 6 a.m. She called our people. And 6 a.m. California time is 3 a.m. East Coast time. And we jumped right in to help and get her back online.
That's how you do it, ladies and gents. Robert Ferrilli here on the podcast for a third straight year. Remember, everybody.
Be excellent to each other.
You've just ed-upped.